That we went over some time ago, titled Getting Your Priorities Right. And we use for a text scripture Matthew chapter number 6, verses 33 through 34. Scripture says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Verse 34 says, Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Or in other words, tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Then it says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, when saints look at this particular passage in scriptures, and anybody that's striving to improve or better their life, Jesus lets us know, first of all, what's more important. What's more important is putting the kingdom of Jesus Christ or his rule in front of everything else. It's not something that we have made up, but it's the Lord's priority list. It's the Lord's priority list for man. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it says all these things. Now, the writer in chapter number 6 records what Jesus was going through when he said, talked about these things, the food, shelter, all of these other many different things that scripture say the Gentiles will seek after, or the world will seek after. The world's system will be founded on the principle of seeking after the things that the Lord is the only one that can give you. All of these things that the world stays up 24 hours a day. You think about the whole economic system of the world. It's moving, exchanging of goods are going on all day and all night. You turn on the TV, we tease my uncle because he stays up at night. And he'd be on that phone. On that television, you hear the people say, you know, this product number 1, 2, 3, 4, and he speed dialing it. And he say, I want to order product 1, 2, 3, 4. But he'd be up shopping on the line, you know, on the television. And I thought about that thing, you know, we have this whole system set up where people are exchanging goods for services 24 hours a day. You got stores that stay open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your Wawa's, your 7-Elevens, those places don't ever close. They stay open. Even when you think you off, if somebody's in there, you can always go buy a soda, a cup of coffee, or a pretzel 24 hours a day. So there's always an exchanging of goods for services, and, you know, vice versa. So Jesus lets us know that when you look at the value of life, he says the world is going to seek after these things. This world is going to seek after all of these things that the Lord already know you have need of. What does Jesus know you have need of? He know you need food. Lord know you need water. Lord know you need shelter. You need all of these things in order to sustain or live a comfortable life. But Jesus says the world will seek after those things. In other words, these things will be a priority for the world. But for the church, for the saint, Jesus says for us to do what? Seek Jesus first. Seek Jesus first. Seek the kingdom of God or his rule over your life. And all of these things are in his righteousness, his standard, his way of living. If you do that, all of these other things will be what? Added to you. You won't have to seek after it. The Lord says, I'll add it to you. And he say, he give you an example of that in chapter 6. He say, consider the birds, how the Lord does what he feeds them. The Lord going to make a good rain come today. None of us are going to control that. But with that rain, you're going to see worms come up out the ground. The ground will be softer. Then all of a sudden you'll know the birds will come on right down and they'll start to eat. And even when it's dry outside, the birds still find food. These are the things that we got to constantly keep before ourselves. Jesus provides for them, so why wouldn't he provide for us? Consider the flowers that are in the field. You're not taking the water to go and water those flowers or the forest. All of those green trees that are out there, you're not watering those trees. Those trees are not in your yard. And some of them are not in anybody's yard. But yet the Lord take care of them all. I laugh sometimes, people be watering, and all that stuff die. But then you look out in the woods, the Lord let his live. You seem like to me you should just say, Lord Jesus, take care of my plants. Instead of you thinking you're doing it, it's the Lord that does these things. But the writer is telling us, don't get anxious. Don't get yourself all in a hurry trying to worry about the stuff that only the Lord can give you. But rather do what? Seek Jesus. And I know that seeking Jesus is not a popular thing, especially that's in the world that we're living in today. You know, you see so many things that are available, so many, you know, events to go to, things to participate in, and just the things that really help your soul. People throw that on the back burner. They say prayer. Oh, no. I prayed. I went to church for prayer last week. I'm not going to go today. Well, the Lord said that should be a priority. Lord said that's, why is that a priority? Because you, in prayer, you asking the Lord to take control. When you're in prayer, you asking Jesus to take control. The Holy Ghost is Christ in you. Christ in you doing what? Leading in you and guiding you into all truth. You're submitting yourself to Jesus, guiding and leading you. You're saying, Lord, I don't know the path that I should take, and I need you to lead and to guide me. Jesus telling you, when you are in his church, that's your number one priority. Saints, number one priority is to talk to the Lord, to be in constant communication with Jesus. Communication with Jesus for what reason? Because you don't know what the next second, the next minute, the next hour is going to bring. You don't know what's coming your way. You only fooling yourself to think you know the end from the beginning. You don't know it. It ain't for you to know. You know, that's what we were talking about this morning. It ain't for, some things is just not for you to know. Some kind of way you're going to learn, you're just going to have to learn to trust in Jesus. You know, just like you get on that bus, you get in that car, you walk on that ground, you're not asking why is the ground solid, but you get on it just as faithful to walk on it. And you expect that ground to stay right up under your feet. You don't expect the ground to cave in. If you expected it to cave in, you wouldn't walk on it. But you expect it to be solid. You expect it to hold you up. Well, if you had that kind of faith in the ground, what about the maker of the ground? What about the one that made you, one giving you the life and the activities of your limbs? Why don't you display that same kind of faith in Jesus? One writer done told you, in him you do what? Live, move, and have your being. He's the length of your days. The longevity of your life, it all depends on Jesus. He appoints your bounds according to the scriptures that you cannot pass. We sit there in awe when we hear about such and such died. Someone died, they were so young. Well, you forgetting the Lord done set the bounds. Lord said, it may be a surprise to you, but it's not a surprise to Jesus. Jesus said, before they came on the earth, I've already established how many days they're going to be here. Lord, I've already given you how many steps you're going to walk on this ground. How many breaths you are going to breathe. Jesus have already set these things up. One writer said, we live our lives as a story that has already been told, right? That's the truth, saints. So it do us good to seek after Jesus. It do us good. It really helps our minds to really put the true value on what's more important so that we won't be fooled in the end. A whole lot of people are going to be fooled. You go on into your bulletin and go on the back page. Go on the back page there. And you see that man standing there. See that man standing there? And see how that man got a thought in his mind. And he asking,
What is important to me? And that's a personal question. What is important to you? Some people, the family is important. And I'm not telling you your family shouldn't be important, but the Lord didn't tell you to seek that first. Huh? It's true. Some people, money is important, but the Lord sure didn't tell you to seek that first. Some people say education. Education is so important. You getting a good education so that you can survive in this world is so important. Well, the Lord didn't say that. Lord told you, but seek you first the kingdom of God. Seek that and his righteousness. And he said, all of these other things shall be added to you. The Lord letting us know the saints are a people of faith. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. I'm hoping that the Lord is going to add the things that I desire to me when I do my part. When I fulfill my end of the bargain, which is what? Seek him first. And his righteousness, he promised, all of these things should be what? Added to me. So the individual has got to answer this question for himself. What is important to you? What is more important to you? I can only answer that question for myself. What's important to me is me being ready to go back with Jesus when he comes. At the end of the day, I realize all of this stuff, all of these things that you acquire in life mean nothing to you. Because the writer done told you, you come into this world naked. I believe Jesus when he say that. It's not as though the Lord have already proven that fact to me. He says, Stephen, go into the hospital room and go into the labor and delivery ward. And look at each baby that come out the mama's womb. And you're going to notice a common thing. What is a common thing, Jesus? All of them come out naked. Huh? All of the babies come out naked. And the writer done told you, you come out your mother's womb naked, and you're going to return that way also, right? So that let me know the true value of life. I can't concern myself on the things that I can put in my pocket, the things that I can hold in my hand. Why? Because I came into the world naked, and I'm going to leave naked, right? That's right. So there's got to be something more important. According to Jesus, it's seeking him first. One thing I learned about when you seek Jesus, you seeking Jesus is not Jesus putting something in your hand. You see, the results of you seeking the Lord is not putting something in your hand. It's putting something inside your soul. When you get down on your knees and you call on the name of Jesus, he don't put nothing in your hand, but he sure not put something down inside your soul, right? That's the truth. Something in your hand the people can take away from you. Something in your hand, you can lose it. You can misplace it. But if you get the Holy Ghost down in your soul, huh? That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? You get the Holy Ghost down in your soul, the Lord said, can't nobody take that away from you. Huh? Can't no thief, can't no moth, can't no rust. None of that can destroy the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is a heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel. Huh? Yeah, that right and unsaid, that treasure inside of you is that the excellency may be of God and not of us, right? That's the truth. You get the Holy Ghost down inside of you. You get the gift that Jesus had to give you. You don't have to worry about losing that gift. So long as you stay in communication with Jesus, you don't have to lose the gift. You don't have to abandon the Holy Ghost. You don't have to lay down and say it's something more important, something more valuable than Jesus. Whenever you get that thought in your mind, the Lord said, come and talk to me for a little while. Let me remind you of what I have done for you. Then all of a sudden you feel Christ in you. Christ in you for what reason? To give you a hope of a glorified body. That's how you know you got in a good prayer with Jesus. He puts priority over your life to help you to stop focusing on the temporary things and focus on the things that are everlasting, right? Holy Ghost in you reminds you that you're only in a temporary body. But one day you're going to have to get up out of this body. One writer said, in this we groan. Huh? Earnestly desiring to be clothed with that heavenly body. That house that's not made with hands. eternal in the heavens for us. That let me know that's what I should be seeking after. I should be seeking after that first. That should be the most important thing to me. Huh? I'm not saying the other stuff is not nice, but I'm telling you, it shouldn't be the most important thing to you. Huh? Shouldn't be the most important thing. You shouldn't lose no sleep over no clothes. You shouldn't lose no sleep over no money. But you should lose some sleep over your soul not being right. Your soul ain't right. You should lose some sleep over that. Why? Because you know if the Lord stop you from breathing, you're going to see your maker. And he ain't worried about what kind of clothes you got on. How you know he ain't worried about it? Because he brought you in this world naked. And he said, I'm going to take you out naked, right? That let you know that's not important to Jesus. What you got on, what you driving, where you live at, none of that is important to Jesus. If it was important to the Lord, he would have been born in a mansion. Huh? He would have been born in a beautiful home. But the Lord lets you know none of that is important. Why? He was born in a stable, a feeding trough. That's what made his bed. A place where animals ate at. That's where he made his bed at. He's trying to let you know this stuff in this world is not important. Huh? This stuff in this world is not important, saints. Where you die at is not important. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross. He died as a crook. He died as a thief. But it was not important. The thing was important is when his soul wind up. When it happened to his body is unimportant. But where did his soul go at, right? Scripture said his soul went on down into hell. Went on down into hell and preached to those that were in captivity. But then what did he do? His soul came up on out of hell. Came up on out of hell, and he led the other souls out of hell, right? That let me know that's more important than anything else. Not how I die and where I die, but just let your soul go back with Jesus when you leave here, right? That's the truth. Regardless of what you die in, whether you die in an expensive suit or you die naked in your bed, but just let your soul be right. Come on, that's the truth. I've learned when people die, they don't look pretty when they die, no way. Why? Because everything in them come out. You don't even smell pretty. You ever heard them talk about that? When you die, you don't smell pretty. Anybody that's been around a dead body, no, you don't smell pretty. The thing you try to avoid doing, you go in the bathroom and try to close the door so can't nobody see the mess come out of you. Jesus said, when you die, it's all going to come out. Wherever you are at, right? To let you know the true value of your body, right? But just let your soul be saved, right? Let your soul be saved. Snot come on out your nose. Yeah, everything come out. Your body empties out. All of its contents. You urinate, you defecate all on yourself. You can't even wipe it clean. That lets you know the value of your body, right? But you better let your soul be right. That's the truth. A rich person die on $1 million sheets. And a poor person die in the middle of the street. Both of them do the same thing when they die. Both of them smell when they die. You ever realize that? Both of them. That's something to think about, saints. Something to think about. Come on. We got to be concerned about how we leave this earth. What is important to me? Right? That what the writer asked? What is important to me and what should be important to you is the fact that you're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to be judged. Judged how? Judged for the things you've done in this body. Come on, get those three scriptures there. Psalms chapter number 9. What is that? Verses number 7 and 8. The Lord endures forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He's going to judge the world how? In righteousness. That's why you think why Jesus told you to seek after righteousness first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things should be what? Why would the Lord tell me to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Jesus is trying to prepare me for something. What is he trying to prepare me for? The judgment. He says, behold, the Lord endures forever. And he's preparing his throne for what? For judgment. I done told you, he's not going to judge you by what you got on. Because he already knows you come into the world, what, naked? And you're going to leave naked, right? He's not going to judge you for how much money you got in the bank account. Why? Because the Lord said the earth is his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He hath founded it. He hath established it upon the seas and upon the flood. All of it belongs to Jesus. None of it belongs to you. All of it belongs to Jesus. None of it is yours. None of it you can claim ownership of. You didn't have it when you came in, and you're not going to have it when you go out. You came in naked, you're going out naked, right? That's why the writer said, what profit is it for you to gain this whole world and lose your own soul, right? You're only fooling yourself. None of it belongs to you. So, Lord, what should I be concerned with? You should be concerned with righteousness. Why? Because that's the judge. That's the standard by which I'm going to judge you. You ever wondered how the devil got these folk fooled so in this day and hour? During this day and time? You ain't seeing many come through with the Holy Ghost. Not during this day and time. They're not focusing on crying out to Jesus. They're not focusing on receiving the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is the only thing that makes you ready for the judgment. If the Lord say, I endure forever, and I'm preparing my throne for judgment, and I'm going to judge the world in righteousness. That's what the Lord told you, the importance of being justified. Being justified is that process where Jesus declares you righteous based on your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. People don't want to repent. They don't want to go down in the water in the name of Jesus. They don't want resurrecting power. The Holy Ghost is resurrecting power. It is power to bring that which was dead back to life. When you get the Holy Ghost, that means you acknowledge Jesus, I'm dead. And you're the only one that can bring me back to life. You got to realize there's more to life than you moving and breathing and drinking. You got to say, Lord, let my soul live. The soul is the real you. Adam killed your soul, right? Jesus came to give you life, right? Jesus came to bring your soul back to life. Didn't that what the Lord said? I didn't come that you might have life. Jesus come to bring your soul back to life. That's why when you get down on your knees, you call Jesus different. When you realize you're dead and Jesus is life, you call Jesus different. You see a sense of desperation. Nobody has to make you cry. The cry come from down on the inside. You realize, Lord, if I leave this earth without you, I'm going to be lost, right? That's the truth. You cry out to the Lord differently when you realize what the Lord has done for you. The position the Lord put you in. The opportunity that is laid out before you. Sometimes I don't think people realize what you're doing. You down there on your knees, you calling on Jesus. You calling on the life giver. We sing that song on this morning. Dick, I think you started it up. What's his name? Jesus. Ain't no reason why every hungry soul did not feel the presence of the Lord. If you had an appetite, if you were in true seeking mode, you should have come through with the Holy Ghost while you were calling on that name, Jesus. The name is salvation. Ain't no salvation in any other. And the Lord done promise you, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Well, Scott, why am I not saved? Because you ain't seeking the Lord like you want to be so. Lord says, seek him first. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him come back to Jesus. Jesus will have mercy on him. Meaning the Lord won't let you keep walking around like a sinner. He will have mercy on you. He will abundantly pardon you, right? That's the truth. Hey, you get your mind on Jesus and call him like you really want to be saved. Song like that'll do it. Song like that'll give you the answer, right, baby? Somebody say, what's his name in your soul? Cry out Jesus. I mean your soul, cry out Jesus. Ain't no reason why the Lord won't quicken that inner man. Ain't no reason why the Lord won't come in there and take control of a member of your body. lying and stop blessing Jesus. Don't you realize that's what he wants? That's what he died for? He died for you to praise him with your lips, for you to glorify him with your mouth, right? That's the truth. I think the Lord will get real good glory out of you. If you seek him first, if you get the Holy Ghost down inside of you, you get in a seeking mode when his name is going forth. Ain't no reason why the Lord won't justify you. Huh? Jesus is the justifier. Meaning he's the one that declares you righteous. Huh? You got to get it in your mind, Lord, you are my justifier. You are the one that declares me righteous. You're the one that makes me ready for the judgment. Huh? Do you believe the judgment is coming? Amen. Thank the Lord you've got a mind, saints, to realize that the judgment is coming. It has not come yet, but it is coming. What kind of a judgment? When we all must stand before Jesus. When we all must give an account for the things that we've done in his body. Whether it be good or bad, right? Huh? He's going to judge you by the standard of righteousness. Huh? Isn't that the truth? Lord going to judge you and I by the standard of righteousness. Huh? You not all of you. You say, well, the scutter, I do good to the people. Lord said, all of your righteousness is like filthy rags. It ain't going to cut it. Huh? I just cut how I feed the people when they hungry. It ain't going to cut it. Huh? I just cut all I do is listen to your kind of music. It ain't going to cut it. Huh? You got to get righteousness down on the inside of you. It's got to be in your soul. Huh? Your soul has got to be declared righteous by the blood of Jesus. Huh? Jesus got to become your Passover. Huh? Meaning the Lord must apply blood to your soul. And that's why when he sees the judgment come, he will say, Passover. Huh? Passover, why? Why? Because he's up under my blood. Huh? That's why you thank the Lord you're in the Holiness Church. Holy Church is trying to get your soul ready to go back with Jesus. Don't you realize when you come in here, you're constantly calling on Jesus. Meaning you're invoking the blood of Jesus. Not just over your life, but over the life of your family. Over the life of things that are important to you, right? That's the truth. That way when that death angel be passing by, he be trying to look for a home that's not covered. But thank the Lord he see your home. And he see your home is what covered. Say, I can't do that home harm. That home, no harm. Why can't you do him no harm? Because the blood of Jesus is right there. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Don't you realize the devil want to kill you, saints? Don't you realize the devil want to take that which is important away from you? But he just cannot do it. He can't do it. If the devil could snatch the Holy Ghost out your soul, he would do it. And when he snatch it out of you, he will kill you right after it's gone. But he cannot do it. Jesus said, can't nobody pluck you out of my hand. That's security, isn't it? That means if I want to stay saved, I can stay saved. If I want to go back with Jesus, I can go back with Jesus, right? All I got to do is just stick right with the Lord. All I got to do is just let the Lord prepare me for the judgment. Huh? That's the truth. Lord endures forever. He's preparing this throne for judgment. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Is that what the scripture say? Come on, give me 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. What does that scripture say? 5 and 10. Isn't that the truth? None of us are going to be exempt from that. All of us are going to stand before that judgment seat for Christ. Huh? Yes. Keep going.
Stand for the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body.
Uh-huh. That's why I get nervous when I see saints paying attention to things that are not helping their soul. Amen. When I see you start getting engrossed in stuff that's not helping your soul, I get nervous. Right. Because the devil done put a thought in your mind that you got time. Right. Huh? You say, you got time to do what? I got time to relax. I got time to do what I want to do. And the Lord is telling you, no, you don't. Right. Time belongs to me. Right. I've given you a set time for you to get your soul right. 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 And you better use every moment the Lord give you to make sure you're ready for the judgment. Right. You're going to get just what you deserve. Whether it's right or wrong. Whether it's good or evil, right? You know the wrath of Jesus. You know the terror of the Lord. You know how the Lord can destroy you just at the wink out of his eyes, just at the thought that come across his mind. The Lord can breathe and you will be no more. One writer said your life is nothing but a vapor, meaning the Lord can blow on you and you will be no more, right? Since you know the terror of the Lord, you ought to stand all the days with your mind fixed to be sober and serious, right? That's the truth. Be sober and serious in your mind. You know that the Lord knows everything. Come on, Romans 14, 10 through 12. You know the Lord knows everything. Come on, what does Romans 14, 10 through 12 say? I ain't got time to look at you. I ain't got time to talk about what you're doing and what you're not doing. I'm too busy focusing on Jesus for myself. That let me know when you see me, that means you're not looking at Jesus. Only one that should be looking at you is your pastor. Lord didn't give that right to nobody else. He told me to watch for your soul. He never told you to be talking about what brother and sister such and such is not doing, where they're going, and who they're hanging out with. If your mind is on Jesus, you ain't got time to worry about that. When you see your brothers and sisters doing something they should not do, you should be praying for them. Praying for them into what? The Lord will change their mind. That the Lord will keep you protected from the very thing that's causing them to get off track. One writer said, let the same thing happen to them that happened to you, right? You fall from your own steadfastness. And those that think you steadfast, you better take heed. Those that think that you holding on, you better take heed. You better stand on God. Lest you slip. Lest you let go. Lest you let the cup go. Lest you let the cup of salvation go. You better take the cup of salvation and hold on to it. Hold on to it, doing what? Calling on the name of the Lord, right? That's the truth, saints. Keep reading a little bit more.
Yes.
Yes.
But we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
That's the truth. My brothers and my sisters are important to me. That's right. You don't set that. You don't value your brothers and sisters as nothing. You don't do that to them. They are important. They are important. I don't want to do anything that's going to cause you to stumble. I don't want to do anything that's going to cause you to take your mind off Jesus. That's true, saints. I don't want to look a certain kind of way to make you think that I'm not trying to live for Jesus. Not doing this day and time. This day and time is serious, saints. This is the day and time of the great calling away. This is the day and time that Paul described as perilous. Perilous times shall come. Honey, they're here already. I see the form of godliness, but I don't see no power. You don't see the Holy Ghost falling like it should fall. That lets you know you don't see no power. That's why you got to ask the Lord to stir up my pure mind. Lord, get my mind back on track like it needs to be on track. That no devil in this world can stop your presence from coming in where it belongs at. This is the Lord's church. We are a group of people that have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Anybody should be saved, it should be the same. Anybody should be filled, it should be the same. When you got a mind to come out of gross darkness into the marvelous light, there's no reason why you shouldn't be filled, right?
Thank you. Hallelujah.
That's the truth, saints.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Got off track. We need to get back on track.
Right.
Ain't got time to look around.
No,
ain't got time to set up naught in front of my brothers or my sisters. Meaning set up naught, meaning a whole bunch of nothing. A whole bunch of foolishness. Things that all amount to nothing. This is not a show. This is not a place to be entertained. This is a place to let you realize you're coming before the righteousness of God. Righteousness of God is going to judge you. He said, judgment must begin where? At the house of God. And if it begin with us, what shall be the end of those that obey not the gospel, right? What shall be the end? You don't want, as we said on last Sunday, the Lord to bring a judgment in here. We don't want the Lord to send the Chaldeans into the church and make the Chaldeans be our best friend. We don't want the Lord to send a false witness into the church to make us think they are something when they are nothing. But Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me counsel not to sit in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but let my delight always be in the Word of God. Let me meditate on that Word day and night, right? Lord, that I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? Meaning the Lord will take care of me, right? Lord will take care of you, right? You don't want to set up naught in front of your brothers and your sisters. I know it's a hard thing sometimes to hold your peace. I know it's a hard thing sometimes not to tell folk what's going on in your mind. But you don't want to be a hindrance. Lord Jesus, don't let me be a hindrance. Lord, let my yea be yea and my nay be nay. Lord Jesus, teach me how to shut my mouth. But I don't know what to say. Lord Jesus, teach me how to shut my mouth. Let me speak words that are edifying. Let me speak words that will encourage. Especially during the day and time that we're living in. I don't want to be a distraction, Jesus. But I want to help somebody, right? I want to help somebody see Jesus. I want to help somebody get the soul right with the Lord. Why? Because time is too short. It's too precious. It's the truth, saints. Come on, read me a little bit more. Yes. What did the Lord say?
Every knee.
That's why you thank the Lord you're in a place that is called out by the name of Jesus. You're in a place that is believing and invoking the name of Jesus. I'm not trying to keep the name down. I'm trying to push the name up. I told you all last week, we got too much God coming out. We got to invoke the name of Jesus. You need to discipline your mind. You need to train your mind that the name gets all of the credit. Every time your mind wants to say, I thank God, you got to say, oh, Lord, but God, you gave yourself a name, which is above what? Every name. But at the name of Jesus, every knee. You don't want the Lord to see you standing up, not before his name. You don't want to see the Lord thinking you tough, right? Not before his name. You don't want to flex your muscles, not before the name. You want to humble yourself. You want to let the Lord know I'm on bending knees. Why? Because I see your name, right? At the name of Jesus, every knee should do what?
Thank you, Jesus.
See a whole lot of arrogant saints. Know-it-all saints. Saints that want to thumb their nose up at authority. Come on, that's the day we're living in. Ain't nobody being submissive. Ain't nobody being submissive. They got that attitude. I'm going to do what I want when I want. That talk about you spirit. Same spirit that was in Israel. I see that same spirit in the land today. Going into your bulletin. When the Lord said he made provisions for you. In the back of your bulletin it said he made provisions for you. Meaning the Lord provided for you. But I see that the people in the people's mind, that's not enough. They're not content with the Lord being a provider. They're not content with the Lord being a way maker. They're not content with the Lord bringing them out of darkness. They're not content with the Lord bringing them out of bondage. They're not content with the Lord feeding them and giving them water when they're thirsty. They're not content with the Lord protecting them from their enemies. Why are they content? Because they got a memory problem. You forgot what Jesus did for you. You forgot your prayer. You forgot your cries. You forgot your fasting, right? That's the truth, saint. I didn't say it. It's on the back of your bulletin. What a verse is that? Numbers what? 21 and 5. What does that verse say there? What did these people do? They spoke against Jesus and they spoke against the Lord's preacher. yourself. Lord, don't let me have that kind of spirit. Don't give me a mind to speak against you, nor your preacher, Jesus. Huh? Here the Lord gave them to you. Lord gave you a preacher to do what leads you, to feed you with wisdom and understanding. Huh? But don't you think that that's not possible? Because, Mom, we're talking about life after Egypt. When you read in Numbers, this is life after Egypt. And what did the people do? They spake against Jesus. They not only spake against Jesus, but they also spoke against Moses. Huh? And what did they say against Jesus and against Moses? They say, you brought us out of Egypt. I want you to stop right there. That looks like that should be enough to you. Huh? Whenever you get in your mind that you want to complain about the grace and mercy of Jesus, don't you forget the Lord brought you out. Huh? Not Elder Scudder. The Lord brought you out, right? Is that what the verse says? Out of their own mouths, they declared the blessings of Jesus. Out of their own mouths, they declared the salvation of the Lord. But look what evil communication will do to you. It'll mess your mind up, right? It'll mess your mind up. Huh? Out of their own mouths, they said, wasn't nobody but the Lord that brought us out. Huh? That's the truth. The Lord God Almighty done brought me out. Brought me out of what? Out of sin. Out of shame. He brought me out of death. He brought me out of sickness. He brought me out of disease. He brought me out of the house of death. Nobody but Jesus, right? Well, right, said he brought you out of gross darkness. Put you into the marvelous light. Huh? Who did it? Nobody but Jesus. And what did he do? He brought you out. Come on, saints. We come on down to the close of this year. We ought to go into the new year with a new attitude. A new attitude of what? I owe Jesus. I owe Jesus praise. I might not have everything that I want. I might not be everything I need to be. But nobody but Jesus brought me out. I owe him, right? Whenever you look like you shouldn't go, remember you owe the Lord. Huh? Whenever your feet get a little slow, huh? You better pick yourself up. Say, hold up, I owe the Lord. Huh? You don't owe Philadelphia nothing. You owe the Lord. Huh? You don't owe your family nothing. You owe the Lord. It was the Lord that brought you out, right? Brought you out of what? Brought you out of your Egypt. Huh? And the Lord didn't bring you out of your Egypt for you to die. He brought you out to live. He said, I am come that you might have life. So who wants you to die? Nobody but the devil. Nobody but Satan himself wants you to die. Jesus, but I want you to see how when you talk to the devil, he'll mess your mind up. How messed up are their minds? Look at what they say. They talked about salvation. But they tried to link salvation up with the devil. Devil ain't got no salvation for you. Devil ain't got no deliverance for you. It was nobody but Jesus brought you out. Seemed like to me they should have put a period right there. Come on, when you read that bold print, they should have put a period right there. But you mess yourself up when you keep on talking. Talking about stuff you don't know nothing about, right? Talking about stuff you don't know nothing about. Huh? All because you listened to some devil. Huh? All because you entertain some demon. Huh? And what did that demon say to you? Huh? What did that demon say to you? He brought you out of Egypt to die. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? Huh? Why would the Lord bring you out of death to die? What were they doing to you in Egypt? Killing you? But why would the Lord bring you out of death to die? But I want you to see how foolish you sound when you listen to that devil, right? He had their own mouths. Mm-hmm. So right done told you, they spoke against Jesus, and they spoke against the Lord's preacher.
Jesus.
And what did they say? The Lord brought us out of Egypt for us to do what? To die. Does that even add up?
Thank you, Jesus.
But nobody but the devil will make you think that you're living beneath your privilege because you want to serve the Lord. Because you have a mind to serve the Lord. As though the Lord going to keep something away from you. Huh? Come on, saints, I know it's the truth. Devil, put all them thoughts in your mind. I know he put it in yours because he put it in mine. And I know if he put it in mine, he put it in yours. Making you think that you can't go forward because you're too busy serving the Lord. Huh? Well, Lord, if I didn't have to pay my tithes, I'd be able to pay that bill. Ain't nobody but the devil telling you that. Huh? I'll be able to make a little bit more money if I didn't have to go to church as much. Ain't nobody but the devil telling you that. Huh? I wouldn't be so tired if I could just stay home and get some rest instead of going to pray for an hour. Ain't nobody but the devil telling you nothing like that. Huh? Because the Lord don't bring you out of death for you to die. He bring you out of death for you to do what? Live. But when you talk to the devil, this is what the devil will change your mind to think. How you know they talking to the devil? Look how they talking. That don't look like no Jesus speaking. Here it is. They cried not for one day, for 400 years. I'm trying to help you to understand. They cried for 400 years just to get out of Egypt. All they wanted to do was just get out of Egypt. And then what did the Lord do? He brought them out. Do y'all understand? He did what you asked him to do. And then let's see what the devil, them old Dathans. You know that little, like you said, that little pudgy fella. Just running around, talking a whole bunch of mess. Huh?
Yeah.
Stuff you should not be talking. Certainly Moses doesn't know what he's talking about. Moses doesn't know what he's doing. Huh? Come on, I'm trying to help you, saints. It's the truth. Dathan is not dead. Korah has not died. These folk are still alive. That spirit, their bodies is dead, but their spirits are still here. Brought us out of Egypt for us to die.
In the wilderness.
But
there is no grave.
Well, look at the complaining. Hold up. What did they say? There ain't no bread and there ain't no water.
And our soul loathes this life.
Stop! But I thought you said there wasn't no bread.
Right.
See how the devil messed your mind up? You said it wasn't no bread, right? And the thing that the Lord has feed you with, you let the devil get it in your mind to say, I hate it.
Yeah.
That word loathe means I hate it. It's disgusting to me. See what happens when you talk to that old devil? He ain't helping you be saved. He said, I loathe. They could have just said this light bread is not making me satisfied. Them demons said, I loathe it. Now, forget it. Who are you talking to? You're talking to Jesus. How far you think you gonna get telling the Lord you hate what he gave you? You fooling with somebody that control your breath. And you got the audacity to tell him you hate what he give you? Okay, let's see how far you get. Keep going.
And it says here, and the Lord sent fire.
That look like the Lord has been turned. Huh? Yeah. Do you want to turn Jesus like this? No. You better shut your mouth.
Right.
Huh? You better close up your ears to them demons.
Right.
Huh? You don't want the Lord to turn from being a deliverer to a judge.
Yeah.
Look like when he turned, he showed enough turn. The Lord took away the bread that they loathed, and he gave them snakes. And they weren't trying to eat the snakes. The snakes were trying to eat them. What did the Lord do? He said, I sent fiery serpents
among the people. And they bit the people. Most people in Israel died.
What happened to them? They got what they asked for. This is why you got to be careful, saints. Don't let the devil take the seek out of you. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what's before you. Remember, the Lord has set priorities for who? For you. Said, but you do what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And all these things. Your children? Huh? Your family members that you want saved? All of these things should be what? If you do your part. Huh? Stop trying to do Jesus' job. You can't do it. Remember, for you it's what? It's impossible. But with Jesus it's what? It's possible. You got to move yourself out of the way. And let the Lord work. You see the Lord poking their knees? Say, that's Jesus. Oh, nothing going on right for me. That ain't your time to say, I told you. That means you setting up. No. You being a distraction. That's your time to say, the Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord will deliver you if you do what? Just seek him. Huh? Let the wicked do what? Forsake his way? This is what the words say do. Ain't nobody got time for all of that. Hold your peace. Move on. They're going to come back again. You don't understand the pain that I'm in. Don't set up no. Don't be a distraction. What did you say? The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. Forsake your wicked ways. Come on back to Jesus. Anybody got time for that? Hold your peace. Walk on away. Because they're going to come back again. And they're going to say the same thing again. Why? Because the Lord is working. Who is working? The Lord is working. And the Lord knows just what button to push. And you got to remind them. You can't change your speech. When you see the Lord poking, they come to you, man, you just won't believe what happened to me. XYZ done went on and on and on and on and on. That's what you got to say. It's time for you to come on back to Jesus. Don't you see the devil is out there trying to kill you? Don't you see it? The devil is after you. I'm going to tell you how you get in their mind. Don't you realize? Think about when you be asleep. What be going on in your mind while you sleep? How you know what's going on? I don't know. But the Lord knows. Right. And I know the Lord know how to get all in your dreams. Didn't he do that to Joseph? Yeah. Got in that brother's dreams. Yeah. Just to bring him up under subjection to his will, right? And if the Lord did it for Joseph, what about these sinners? Right. You don't think the Lord is stirring their minds up all while they sleep?
Right.
Trying to call them to what? To repentance.
Right.
And it's up for the righteous to remind them. And it's time for you to come back to the Lord. And ask the Lord to be what? Be merciful. Ask the Lord to be what? Gracious. And that was Psalms 51 said, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me, Jesus. That's what you're trying to get that sinner to get to that point. To say, Lord, Jesus, have what? Have mercy upon me. That's what you got to cry out to the Lord for him to do. All right? I'm done. Trust you got something out of the word. Time for the Lord. As we said, saints, we come down to the close of this year. Want us all to get our focus back. Get our focus back on what is more important. I know we've had a lot of distractions. And the devil has done his job. And he's going to continue to do his job. But it's up for us to stay focused on Jesus. It's up for us, up to us, for us to remind people what the church is all about. The church is about the saving of the what? The soul. It's not about entertaining you. It is about getting your soul right with the Lord. Before he come back. Because he is coming. And how is he going to judge us? By the standard of righteousness. Right? And if you haven't been justified. You're not ready. You ain't ready for that judgment. You're not ready for that judgment. Lord going to look at you and say, he that is unjust, let him be what? Unjust still. And you don't want the Lord to say that about you. You want the Lord to say, he that is holy. Here I am. Let him be what? Holy still. That let me know you either one or the other. Ain't no middle ground. They'll try to make you think it's a middle ground. There ain't no middle ground. You either what? One? Or either you doing right or you doing wrong. Ain't no halfway. Ain't no half stepping. Half stepping is what? Lukewarm. And the Lord said, what about that lukewarm state? Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I don't want nothing to do with you, right? So make your mind up, saints. Let's be who the Lord has called us to be.